Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I request that everybody keeps their microphone switched off, inshallah ta'ala, and has the Maktub 62 open in front of them, because that's the one that we'll be studying first, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala khatim al-nabiyyin محمد النبي الأمي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد الحمد لله الله سبحانه وتعالى has granted us the tawfiq to come together for the studying of the مكتوبات of مجدد الأفساني الشيخ أحمد سرحندي نور الله مرقده. This is an online course, but there's a couple of things to bear in mind. A couple of housekeeping, inshallah ta'ala. An online course is very different to something when you're sitting in front of a teacher, mu'allim, or one's sheikh, or one's murabbi. Because these makatib and these letters and these epistles of Mujaddid al-Thani, rahimahullah ta'ala, are his ma'arif. They are his ma'arif, meaning they are his cognizance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not ours. So we can learn the ilm that's in there and the istilahat and the terminologies to gain a better, broader understanding of the concepts of tasawwuf. Inshallah ta'ala, it's, as I was saying, it's different to studying in the presence of one's teacher. Alhamdulillah, each maktub of Mujaddid al-Sani rahmatullah alayhi's, Jazakallah khair, Mufti sir. Every maktub we studied individually with our Shaykh, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, himself of a great Naqshbandi nisbat. And he went into detail on some makatib for many, many days. For many, many days, he would go through one maktub. Some are longer and some are shorter. In any case, the question arises, why are we studying Maktub 62 first? Why not start with Maktub number one? Well, it's an interesting story, because when our Shaykh himself began teaching the Makatib as they're commonly printed, and you'll see I have the original Persian, and we also have the epistles of Shaykh Wajiuddin rahimahullah ta'ala, as well as the other versions printed of the same one. When the Sheikh started, he came across Maktub 287, and he felt that this was the most important thing and the most important aspects of the tasawwuf of the present day were contained in this Maktub, and they should be studied first. But he did not want to be disrespectful or do anything showing lack of adab to Mujaddid al-Thani, rahimahullah ta'ala. So he did istikhara. And as is the way with the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to doing maktub and teaching maktub 287. In fact, he saw the Mujaddid al-Thani, rahimahullah ali, in a vision. And he actually said that these numberings that we have, whether it's volume one, volume two, I have not been the one, it was not me that gave the numbering to these makatib. In fact, other people and publishers have done so. You may teach from wherever you wish to teach from. Meaning the arrangement and the numbering is not Mujaddid al-Sani rahmatullah alayhi's numbering. So this is something we should bear in mind. And because it's the first lesson, it's the first time we're initiating this, due to the immense love, reverence, and justifiably so, attachment to Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ta'ala and the Naqshbandiya Mujaddidiya Tariqa, it made sense to start with a short maktub, which everybody can have in front of them, to go through it and to discuss the istirahat and the terminologies and the various aspects, after which we're going to be open to a Q&A, so that if anybody has any questions, they can ask, inshallah ta'ala. Maktub 62 from volume 1. We have 1 hour, and I want to leave the last 10 minutes to questions, Q&As of the last 10, 15 minutes. It's not a long maktub whatsoever, but as with anything, it is absolutely imperative that we first of all ensure that we check our niyyah, our intention for why we are studying this. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala starts his kitab, his sahih, his collection of a hadith, with the first hadith, which starts with innamal a'malu binniyat ila al-akhir al-hadith, till the end of the hadith. Verily, actions are based on intentions. Alhamdulillah, as I was saying, that it's important that we check our intention. Ma'arif and cognizance and the ma'arifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His love and understanding of our relationship. Bain al-abd wa bain Allah, between the servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and between us and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is something that is to be experienced. It is not to be learnt from kitabs, any forms of books or literature. That is just for ilm. But until there is amal and action, and it translates into action, it's going to be very difficult to experience something which they experienced. All the Sufi kiram, Ridwan alayhi ajma'in, without exception, were all pragmatic, practical people, the men amongst them and the women amongst them. If you read the life of Rabia Basriya, rahimullahi ta'ala, alayha, she also was a practical Sufi, a very practical, pragmatic individual, into action, aloof from the snares of the dunya. Similarly, we should check our intention that we want to increase our ilm, our love for the mashayikh, especially the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, and build a greater attachment and understanding of the teachings of Mujaddid al-Thani Sheikh Ahmed Sarhindi, rahimahullah ta'ala. There's much that can be said about the great Mujaddid. Imam Rabbani Mujaddid al-Thani Sheikh Ahmed Farooqi Sirhindi, Nawarullah Marqadu, was the Mujaddid of the Alf, the millennia of 1,000 years. The hadith that most people know is that a Mujaddid will be born in the Ummah. Allah will raise a Mujaddid, a reviver of the deen and all aspects of deen, every 100 years. That doesn't mean as soon as it turns 1300, there was a Mujaddid, and then at 1400, and the next one will be at 1500. They can overlap in time. But the ulama agree that for a Mujaddid to be a Mujaddid, he must be alive at both sides of the century. He must be on the cusp of both. He must be a little bit in the previous century and in the new century, in the forward-going century. But the uniqueness about Mujaddid al-Thani ta'ala is that he was the Mujaddid of the millennia. After 1,000 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him into the dunya to his righteous parents in this righteous home, and chose India as the place for this Mujaddid. This is why the subcontinent has meaning, the Indian subcontinent, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. The subcontinent has a unique role in the history of not just the propagation of tasawwuf, but also deen hadith, tafsir, and fiqh. Another Naqshbandi shaykh, a great mujaddid in his own right, much later than Mujaddid al-Thani, rahimahullah ta'ala, was Shaykh Shah Waliullah al-Muhaddith al-Dahlawi, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he is uniquely placed as somebody through whom every chain of transmission of hadith in India, meaning the Indian subcontinent, all of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, all the chains of hadith go through him. Another Naqshbandi, Hanafi, from India. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unique to a geography or a geographical location. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes his work of his deen and the khidmah of his deen from wherever he wishes. We spoke about Imam Bukhari just now, moments ago. Imam Bukhari is not an Arab. He's from Bukhara, where many of our Naqshbandi mashayikh are buried, actually, Samarkand and Bukhara and Tashkent, in the Caucasus of former Soviet Union in Russia. And so none of the canonical books of hadith, the imams of those books of hadith, apart from Imam Muslim, are Arab. It shows that ilm traveled. It's the same is true of Imam Abu Hanifa. He's from Kufa. He's Persian in descent. And then we have Mujaddid al-Thani, who by nasab is one of the great-great-grandchildren of who? Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. He's Faruqi, hence the name. Rahimullah ta'ala. So we should correct our intentions. This is the first step of every murid, every salik, salika, murid, murida, student of ilm, knowledge, tasawwuf, spirituality, that we want to study only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah rewards and gives based on talab, how much we seek, and with how much sincerity, how much with adab we sit. If we're sitting on the other end of the Zoom dars, and the majlis right now, and if we're sitting there reclining on our chairs, right? If we're reclining on our chairs and with puffed up cushions and pillows, propped up blankets, and a box of chocolates to the left and a drink to the right, right? Then this is not going to be something that will benefit us. It will be against adab, and our mashayikh or people of adab and reverence. Through adab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives much. Inshallah ta'ala, without further delay or ado, as they say, we should inshallah continue now with the maktub itself, maktub 62. If there's anybody who doesn't have that maktub open in front of them, they should let me know now on the group, inshallah. I think they're okay, alhamdulillah. Tayyib. So, Maktub 62 from Volume 1, written to Mirza Hisamuddin Ahmed. This translation of this Maktub was actually on the instructions of our Shaykh, and through his barak and blessings. And inshallah, we hope that through the series that we will do now of the Maktubat, that there will be a collection of English translation available and easy to understand English. Alhamdulillah, the epistles which Sheikh Muhammad Wajiuddin, rahimahullah ta'ala, whom I knew personally, that it's a good attempt. But obviously, English was not his first language, though he was a professor at Lahore University. And so, when there needs to be a little bit more of a update in the translation, we feel, so that it becomes easier to understand. Type, Brother Musa, on the group, inshallah, if there's a question. Alhamdulillah, you've raised your hand, no problem. You can type your question. Unless it's personal, and then you can message it to me, inshallah. Those who are, let's just mute the microphones for those who've got their microphones open. Inshallah ta'ala. Okay. In terms of the maktub, I'll be referring to both the original, and we've also got this one bookmarked as well, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll be going through the translation this Khadim has done also. Bismillah. Written to Mirza Hisamuddin Ahmed. And just one more thing, alhamdulillah. One thing to remember is the makatib and the letters written by Mujaddid al-Thani Ali is not a similar or in the same context as when a sheikh or an alim writes a book. It cannot be taken as such. A book is written for the general public or for the masses, whereas a maktub is written specifically for the individual that it is addressed to. So, for example, we have Brother Isa or Brother Fatih, just two names from the participants at the moment in this dars. So, if I was to write a letter to Brother Isa, then I have to make sure that the content will be, shall we say, Isa specific. If I'm writing a letter to Brother Nabil, now I have to ensure that my letter is Nabil specific. What does that mean? That the content will be such that it makes sense to him, according to his understanding, his age, the terminology that I know that he understands. There's no point writing to somebody in Malaysia using terminologies that they are not acquainted with. And as such, not being able to convey the message. So this is very important to bear in mind. Very important to bear in mind that each letter of Mujaddid al-Thani ta'ala is written specifically to an individual. Sometimes they are a murid, sometimes they are a what we call a Pir Bhai, a brother in the path of Saluk and Tasawwuf, who were also murids of Khaja Baqi Billah ta'ala, his sheikh. And sometimes they are the courtiers of Akbar and Jahangir's Mughal court in India, meaning the royal entourage or the ministers. Because one of the things that Mujaddid al-Thani rahmatullah alayhi was trying to revive the deen in its true form, every aspect of the life of the Muslims in the Indian subcontinent, because Akbar was bringing in Deen-e-Ilahi, a amalgamation of various religions and faiths in the hope of pleasing everybody. And we know very well, I'm sure all of us know, you cannot please all of the people all of the time. And that's why the Sufi Kiram, it is the way of the Muslim, that we don't try and please people, we try and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether somebody likes it or not. Yes, we'll do it with wisdom, with hikmah, and with ikhlas, inshallah. So if we just bear that in mind, this letter is specifically geared towards and bespoke and tailored for Mirza Hisamuddin Ahmed, and we'll try and take from that what we can. Bismillahir Rahmanir Mujaddid al-Thani ta'ala says there are two paths for the one seeking to gain wusul ilallah, closeness to Allah. Wusul ilallah, somebody who's wasil billah, it's another terminology, is somebody who has gained, literally gained Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here it means qurb, closeness. We'll go into that, we'll unpack that a little bit better in a few moments, inshallah. The first is jazba, and the other is suluk. So now here we come into contact, alhamdulillah, with the first two very, very important terminologies that Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ta'ala uses. They're very, very important, extremely. This day will come up again and again and again in the makatib of Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ta'ala. The first is jazba and the other is suluk. Or in other words, tasfiyah and tazkiyah. Okay. The way I'd like to do it is we're going to read the whole letter and then we're going to, inshallah ta'ala, unpack paragraph by paragraph. The jazba which is gained prior to suluk is not from the true objectives of this path of tasawwuf. And that tasfiyah, purification of the qalb, which is achieved. Bear with me a moment, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Apologies about that. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So this letter addressed to Mirza Hisamuddin rahimullah ta'ala. Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ta'ala says, there are two parts for the one seeking to gain the wasul ilallah, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first is jazba and the other suluk. Or in other words, tasfiyah and tazkiyah. The jazba which is gained prior to suluk is not from the true objectives of this path of tasawwuf. And that tasfiyah, purification of the qalb, which is achieved before tazkiyah, purification of the nafs, is also not from amongst the required objectives of this path, tasawwuf, subhanAllah. However, the jazba that is granted after the completion of suluk, and that tasfiyah, which is after having achieved tazkiyah, which is sir fillah, are indeed from amongst the desired objectives of this path, yani tasawwuf. The first initial jazba and tasfiyah of the qalb is only to facilitate in making the path of suluk easier for the salik. Without traversing the path of suluk, the task, which is wusul ila Allah, is not accomplished. And without achieving the manazil, meaning the stations of suluk, the 10 maqams of suluk, which Mujaddid al-Thani rahmatullah alayhi deems absolutely necessary for the achievement of tazkiyah, of the nafs, meaning purification of the nafs, the beauty of the desired, meaning Allah jalla jalaluhu wa amman nawaluhu, cannot be witnessed. The first jazba, in comparison to the second jazba, is merely a resemblance in form. In the original Farsi, suratan, in form. Whereas in reality, these two are not even comparable with one another. They are that different. Therefore, that which the mashayikh of this blessed tariqah, Naqshbandiyya, have mentioned in their statements, that they have placed the end into the beginning. Subhanallah. They've placed the nihaya in the bidaya. They've placed the end into the beginning. Is the placing of the resemblance of the end into the beginning. So it's not an actual placing of it. This is because the reality of the end cannot be contained nor comprehended in the beginning, because the nihaya, the end, has no comparison with the bidaya, the beginning. This subject has been dealt with in detail in that letter which was written in order to explain the reality of jazb and suluk. Here, Shaykh Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ta'ala, speaking about that famous letter, one of the longest letters of the Makatib, Maktub 287, which we'll study next, inshallah ta'ala, When we studied Maktub 287 with our Sheikh, we studied it almost over 1 year. That one Maktub, almost 1 year. And then we had regular discussions on it and asked many questions. Subhanallah. In short, Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ta'ala goes on to say, in short summary, it is necessary to pass through the resemblance, surat of jazb, which is gained in form only in the beginning, to the reality, yani actual jazm, which is only achieved after suluk. To leave aside the reality and remain content with only the resemblance of jazm is to keep oneself far away from the desired objective of this path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the reality and protect us from the false form by sanctity of the chosen Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam al-Mustafa and his pious offspring Ali Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Ameen. We should all say ameen. This is the dua of Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ta'ala. Okay. So now, having read the Mubarak blessed letter of Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ta'ala, we will now unpack paragraph by paragraph, and there is no rush. There is no rush to unpack all of it in today's dars. Alhamdulillah, it will take as long as it takes until all of us are able to understand and gain the faith, the spiritual blessings of this letter, and understand its context and contents properly, as is understood by the mashayikh of the Naqshbandiyya Mujaddidiyya Tariqah. Now, there are two parts for the ones seeking to gain usulillah. Okay, so which ones are they? The two parts. The first is jazba, and the other is suluk. Or in other words, tasfiyat the scheme. Okay. Jazba here means shauq, fervor, desire, wanting to do something. When somebody gives bay'ah to a sheikh and somebody enrolls themselves into a tariqah, into a silsila, and wants to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the teachings and the dhikr and the muraqabah and the lessons of the path and through rabta and regular contact with the shaykh, then this person, by doing amal and by acting upon the advice and the prescription of the shaykh, especially through the dhikr and muraqabah, and in our Naqshbandiyya Mujaddidiyya Tariqah, the silent muraqabah and contemplation over the lata'if, those various sensing points, that is unique to the Tariqah. And that develops a level of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is known as a jazba. It cleanses the heart. When a person begins to start doing muraqabah and attaches himself to the tariqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special blessings become manifest slowly but surely. The person, man or woman, slowly becomes able to leave the desires of their nafs and shaitan and act upon that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So that Fajr Salah, which was difficult to wake up for before, now becomes somewhat easier, and a person wants to wake up for Fajr Salah. In fact, they want to wake up for Tahajjud Salah so that they could worship at night in the last third of the night to their Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where does this come from? It's important because this will explain the difference between jazba and suluk. That the cleanliness and the cleansing and the purification and the removal of the darknesses and the zulma and the entering of nur and spiritual blessings into the heart, this is known as, the process is called tasfiyah, with the fa, tasfiyah. The more dhikr one does, the more muraqabah one does, the more one engages in communication with one's shaykh as prescribed, meaning rabita, the more a person is able to do tasfiyah and gain nur and polish the mirror of the heart. In the hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the heart is like a mirror and everything has a polish. And the polish of the heart is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So only when we polish this heart and this mirror of the heart will it reflect the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and able to receive the tajalliyat. The process, second thing that mentioned by Mujaddid al-Islam rahimahullah ta'ala is suluk. Suluk is the systematic treading along a path. Suluk means a path. Tariqah also means path. That's why the salik is the one who treads the path of suluk. In suluk, it's the systematic treading on along a path where one learns and adopts certain remedies to certain spiritual illnesses, diseases, some flaws in character, some personality traits which are not so good. For example, excessive anger. Anger is natural, but through the process of suluk, a person is able to control one's anger, and it only comes out as it should, where it should, when it should, and to the extent it should, so that one does not end up disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being unjust to somebody else. For example, to one's children, husbands to their wife, wives to their husband. We all get angry, it's natural. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Holy Quran. Hub fillah, love for the Allah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa bughd fillah, and hatred for the sake of Allah. The hatred cannot come without anger. But for the sake of Allah, that's the key caveat. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how does suluk help us to control these things? Suluk under the guide and the guidance of a sheikh, a kamil, a true sheikh, who himself has gone through the process of cleansing and purification with his sheikh, all the way back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's engaged in regular muraqabah, regular dhikr for years and years. They then are able to guide others, and then the salik or the salika engages in the same muraqabah, gains the jazbah, the shawq, the fervor, the desire to, and then they take the prescription of the shaykh. They say to the shaykh, "What can I do? I am angry with everybody all the time." The shaykh will prescribe something, a remedy. One of the remedies that our shaykh used to give was, if you are angry with somebody, or somebody's angered you by what they've done, what they've said, or something that you've learnt, and they're there in front of you, if the person is older than you, then you should move away. And then act upon the hadith of sitting down. If you're sitting down, lying down, drinking water, doing wudu, these are all things that can be done. But immediately, what should we do? We should move away from the person. If we are younger than the person who's angered us, we may be in the haq, we may be the ones who are in the right and correct. Our stance, our position may be the correct one. But to avoid confrontation, inshallah ta'ala, we will move away from the person if they are older than us. If the person is younger, then we should tell the younger person, the child or sibling, to move away or to leave us. But if there's not much age gap between siblings nowadays, it can lead to another argument. So what we say is, it's just best to move away oneself. Psychologists have said that anger only lasts for about, the heat of it only lasts for about 10 to 15, some say 20 minutes, if that, not even that. The first few minutes is when it's really steaming, as they say, a person's steaming, but it can be remedied. This is through suluk. Then a person writes to their sheikh, "I have been implementing your remedy. Today I did not swear at the other person, but I wanted to." The famous story of Sheikh Abu Quddus Ganguhi rahimahullah ta'ala, the great Sufi master, who had ijaz in 17 different turuq and silsilas, including an Naqshbandiya tariqah, though he himself was Chishtiya, but that does not matter here. He was a great wali of Allah. He went to his sheikh, the Khalifa of his father, and he said, "I've come to gain that spiritual blessings, the spiritual blessings that you have gained from the tariqah." So the sheikh said, sheikh honored him because he was the son of who? He was the son of his sheikh. So you honor the son of your sheikh. But when he realized that he had come to gain the love of Allah and the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he wants to get closer, he wants to gain what Mujaddid al-Thani rahmatullah alayhi mentions here, wasul ilallah qurb, the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, when he realized that, he set him to task. What do I mean by that? It means he puts him on the path of suluk straight away. He said to him, "You must work in the stable where the horses are, and you must clean the horses, including their droppings and their feces." I mean, imagine us being told by the sheikh, "You must work in the stable." Subhanallah. How many of us would be willing to clean the excrement and the feces and the najasa and the filth of animals? People were sincere back then. That's why they became the Khaja Baqi Billahs and the Mujaddid al-Afsanis and the Sheikh Ibn Qudus Gangohis and the Sheikh Ibn Qadir Jilanis of their time. Rahimullah ta'ala ajma'in. He at once obeyed the Sheikh and went. He was told that he could not attend the majlis. He was not allowed to attend the majlis, nor was he allowed to attend any of the halaqas of dhikr and so forth. Just fard salah in the masjid. And he was not even allowed to come into the khanqah, the zawiya. He then, after some time, the sheikh went to test him. He wanted to test him, so he sent one of his students, his murids, and he said, "Take some filth yourself, some rubbish, and go past him and pretend to accidentally fall and drop some of it on him." So this is what he did. He went and he saw Sheikh Abdul Quddus Gangohi rahimahullah ta'ala, and he dropped a little bit and pretended that it was by accident. And then the Sheikh had told him that, "Tell me how he reacts, my murid. How does this student of mine react?" So what did Sheikh Abdul Quddus say? He got up and very angrily waving his fist in his face, he said, "What's wrong with you? Do you not see that I was here? How could you trip and do that?" And he shouted at him and told him off. So the attendant, the khadim, reported this to the sheikh. So the sheikh said, "There's still much work to be done." Meaning, tazkiyah, what Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ta'ala speaks about in his first paragraph, we're still unpacking that. The tazkiyah of the nafs in suluk. So then, after some time, he carried on cleaning, doing the task that was allotted to him. He'd only come for fard prayer, but obviously he was sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wanted to improve himself. So the sheikh then sent another khadim this time and said, "This time, drop half of it, half of the contents of the tray of rubbish or the basket of rubbish, chuck it on him and tell me what he does as a reaction." So the sheikh then waited to hear what happened. This khadim, this attendant, this murid went and very cleverly engineered a situation where it looked like he fell and he dropped half the contents of the waste basket on the person, on Sheikh Abdul Quddus. This time Sheikh Abdul Quddus looked at him angrily, red in the face, and said, Nahwa Gangur. Meaning, if this was my hometown Gangor in India, I would teach you a lesson. So the attendant said, sorry, look, sorry, it was an accident. And he left quietly. And he told the sheikh, this is what he said to me this time. He didn't get up. This is what he said. The sheikh said, okay, no problem. There's still some work to be done. He still has, these are my words, he still has anger issues, as we would say. But the sheikh said he still has work to do. After some months later, some time passed. This time the sheikh said to him, go, my attendant, and this time go and drop the whole basket on him. See what he does. So the attendant did as he was instructed, and he engineered a situation, and he pretended to fall, and he dropped the whole basket onto Sheikh Abdul Quddus, Gangohi rahmatullahi ta'ala. Sheikh Abdul Quddus, Gangohi rahmatullahi alayh, immediately he got up and he said, oh, I'm so sorry. You fell because of me. I was in the wrong place. Have you hurt yourself? Let me clean this up with you. Not at all bothered or concerned that his own clothes had become dirty and have to wash himself. He was more concerned about the person who tripped, unbeknown to him, that he'd been done on purpose, on the instructions of the sheikh. So this is why the report then went back to the sheikh that this is what your murid did, Sheikh Abdul Quddus. He said, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Now the tazkiyah of the nafs has been achieved. Tell him to take a shower, bathe himself, and come to the dhikr and the halaqah and the majlis, inshaAllah ta'ala. And then Allah gave him all the blessings and then the ma'rifah that he gave him due to his sincerity. The story is much longer than this, but I summarize it, ended here. To mention, this is what suluk is, one by one by one, remedying the different traits. For example, some people have the trait of hasad, jealousy. Dhikr cannot get rid of the disease of the heart. No dhikr of any tariqah, no muraqabah, no silent dhikr, no loud dhikr can get rid of the diseases of the heart permanently. They can suppress them. When a per this is what's called jazba. A person, when they start engaging in the lessons of the path, the muraqabah, say on latif al-qalb, or on the dhikr, lisani, whatever methodology of dhikr is given, they all take us to the same objective, which is wasulillah, closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person then suppresses their desires and is able to then tread the path of suluk, which requires tazkiyah. Tazkiyah is the purification of the nafs. Suluk is all about cleansing and purifying the nafs. The nafs' default state is an-nafs ammara bis-su, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran. The rebellious nafs, our nafs always wants to be lazy. We want to go, brothers and men want to go to the gym, but they don't want to bench press weights, but they don't want to bench press their blanket or their duvet or their chadar in the morning for Fajr Salah or Tahajjud. Subhanallah. This is the nafs. They're able to make effort for that which they see an immediate result for, because I will look better. I will be perceived as better in the eyes of others. So they're able to get up for that. They're able to go through physical labor for that. But they're unable to get up for tahajjud or fajr. Do we not see that men and women, brothers and sisters, are able to get up for school, college, university, work, because they know that there is a consequence to them not going? They'll be expelled, suspended, sacked, fired, relieved of their duties of employment, not earn money. How will they pay the bill? All of these things come into play because they are something that we know as a haqiqah, There's the ilm al-yaqeen, there's ayn al-yaqeen, there's haqq al-yaqeen, three stages of yaqeen. Knowing something, seeing something, and actually experiencing something. Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah, Allah, Allah. Experiencing something. So the experience can only come if we tread the path of suluk. And this is what Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ta'ala is explaining very categorically in this first paragraph in his letter to Mirza Hisamuddin Ahmad. Imagine for a moment, just take a moment, all of us. Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ali considered he was saying to be so important, he wrote a letter about it. This isn't just a letter from a book known as the Epistles of Maktubat Sharif of Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ali. These are important ma'arif gained from the wealth of experience and the spiritual rank that Allah had granted to this Mujaddid of the millennium. He is saying there are two parts for the one seeking wasul ilallah, closeness to Allah. The first is jazba, which we've unpacked. It is the shawq, the fervor, the zeal, the desire to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And jazba is gained. I'm going to open them now. I want everybody to open their microphone, inshallah ta'ala, or whoever wants to answer, and tell me, how is jazba gained? We want to do a little bit of an interactive daras as well, so that people can participate and I can understand what people have understood, what they haven't understood. So who can tell me, apart from Isa, apart from Mufti Zahir, anybody else? Who can tell me, how is jazba gained?
Assalamu alaikum. Sheikh, is it when, for example, a murid gets bait and wants to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then through the rabida of the Sheikh, with the wazaif, muraqabah, dhikr, that develops into a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is then known as jazba? And then that is the heart and the marifah manifests into the heart of the doer and initially makes it easier to carry out the ibadah.
That's exactly what it is, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Jazba is gained through, doesn't matter if you're a Naqshbandi, Qadri, Sohwardi, Chishti, Shazali. If it's the true, you have two types of tariqahs. You have those who pretend that they're in that tariqah. Really, it's nothing. They just want to make money from people and deceive people and have presents and gifts given by murids. They're not interested in making their murids and muridas, salik and salikas, reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not get up in tahajjud making dua for their students. They're not the ones who are saddened when somebody's not reaching their full potential. They make it into a business. We're not talking about those. But all the turu, all the salasil al-haq, true salasil, true mashayikh, whichever dhikr you do, whether it's audible, whether it's lisan with the tongue, whether it's zahiri, whether it's muraqabah, they are all bring about a level of love, as the brother just mentioned, mashallah, that it brings about a level of purity of the heart, the mirror of the heart, polishes the heart, as the hadith tells us of the Prophet sallallahu, which then becomes so clean and pure, even temporarily, that a person wants to then reform the character permanently. So the anger, the backbiting, all of these things are suppressed for a while. But how do you permanently do the purification? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Holy Quran, in Surah Shams, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها قد أفلح من زكاها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu wa amman nawaluhu, swears by seven things in his Quran, in his kalam. Nowhere in the Holy Quran has Allah sworn by seven things. And Allah does not need to swear by anything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa man asdaqa min Allah. Who can be more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is true. Allah is al-haq. But the Mufassirun tell us, we have to look at it holistically. The commentators of the Quran, the scholars, they have commented that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by something in his creation, it is A, to show the greatness of that creation, and also to then give the importance and to say to us, listen carefully now to what I'm about to say, is to draw our attention to the next message. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by seven things: by the sky, the morning, the bright morning sun, by the earth, and all of, by the mountains, all of these things. And then Allah says that وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. And in the nafs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after creating the nafs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the nafs, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلَّهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. We inspired the nafs with both fujur and taqwa. Fujur means the propensity, the desire, the want to sin. That is fujur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the same verse, وَتَقْوَاهَا, we've inspired in it, فَأَلْهَمَهَا, we have given it ilham, an inspiration, we've inspired in it. This is where the Sufi also use the word ilham, meaning inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَالتَّقْوَى, we've inspired both sin, the desire for sin that's in us, and also for taqwa. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Successful, indeed successful, are those who have purified their nafs. Here, from the Quran, from the nas, from the original source, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the greatest success is what? Having two cars, lots of clothes, lots of watches, lots of jewelry, lots of money? Latest mobile phone? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the greatest success, indeed, verily, aflaha man zakkaha. It's in Arabic, those who know Arabic, it's ismi tafdhil. It's brought for bringing about an emphasis that indeed he has attained taqwa, she has attained taqwa, attained success, who has purified their nafs. This purification process is what is known as tazkiyah, because the word tazkiyah is in the Quran. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. زَكَّاهَا means tazkiyah, who has purified their soul. So this path of suluk is the process of tazkiyah of the nafs. What happens when you purify the nafs? It goes from being totally rebellious, not wanting to do anything, to then becoming a lawama. It does want to do things. It does do good things. It also ends up doing some sin because it has the desire to do so. And then eventually, after much rabita and communication with the sheikh, I never used to lie. I've started to lie. What should I do? I never used to watch films. I'm finding it difficult to leave these things. These are all practical, modern-day issues that the Sufi faces. I can't stop listening to music. What should I do? All of these things. When a person starts doing the dhikr and the muraqbah, and then reports their ahwal there to the sheikh, as a true spiritual doctor, if he is a true caring spiritual doctor attached to a tariqah, attached to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will give a prescription, not a wazifa, not a will, not a ta'weez. All of these things are permissible, but not for this thing. This is a practical methodology, just like Sheikh Abdul Quddus Gangohi, where you have to go through trials. Not as severe as that, of course. Nobody, I don't think any modern sheikh is going to throw any rubbish on anybody. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Once I was in the company of my sheikh, and he was by that, we were in Makkah Mukarramah, and he was going towards the lift. I had just arrived from Medina Munawwara, and subhanAllah, what happened was, as I was walking towards the Sheikh, he saw me. He knew that I had arrived. We'd communicated on WhatsApp message prior to that, and Allahu Akbar. As I walked towards him, the Sheikh turned completely away, meaning he did not even look at us. That was again to test, to scrub the person, to see that is he a murid as-sadiq? Is he somebody who will run away because is he looking for attention? Or is he somebody who's come to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he literally turned his face over. But we stayed there, we carried on, and then later on, after 2 days, the Sheikh invited us to sit with him and to eat with him, and then we spoke. So these tests are done by the shuyukh for the betterment of the salik, the murid or the murida. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll pause there. It's 2:59. If there are any questions, then please put your hand up, inshallah ta'ala, and I'm more than happy to take a few questions here. It won't cut off. If anybody needs to leave, then they can do. وآخر دعانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there are any questions, then please raise your hand in the group. I'll allow a couple of minutes. Jee Mufti Saab, Farmaiye.
Sorry, Sheikh. So I was just trying to get used to these buttons. Just a simple
Are you in
question.
Pakistan right now?
Gigi, I'm in Saibal.
Okay, mashallah. No problem. Yeah, fortunate that you have joined us, mashallah. Gee, what's the question, Mufti Saab?
When it says Mujaddid al-Fi Thani, what does it mean by the Thani bit, the
Thani means
2000? Does it?
the second millennium. Al-awwal,
So does
like
that?
Rabi al-awwal or Rabi al-thani, Jamad al-awwal, Jamad al-thani. So the second millennium, the first 1,000 years of Islam went, and then in the second part was the birth of Mujaddid al-Islam, rahmatullahi alayh. Actually, he was on the cusp of it. So he is the Mujaddid from 1,000, before 1,000, all the way till, inshallah ta'ala, 2,000 Hijri.
Jazakumullah. And what does that translate to in our East? I'm sorry, in the East we system, in the
I'll have
Gregorian
to check
calendar.
it. Yeah, I have to check it. It can be easily checked, inshallah ta'ala, online. I personally try and avoid the Gregorian calendar wherever I can. So you'll see that when the brothers do the posters for the talks, I always say write the Islamic dates first. Because as Muslims, one of the things that Mujaddid al-Thani rahmatullah wanted to do was he wanted to bring everything Islamic at every level. Very intelligent, subhanAllah. So the way to do it is to accustom people to our terminologies without embarrassment, without shame, and without any inferiority complex. Just go to Dumikahta, right? With full fakhr and full pride, write our own. In fact, our mashayikh, my own Sheikh Awwal, Sheikh Dr. Ghulam Mustafa Khan Sahib Naqshbandi, rahmahullah ta'ala, when I would write to him from England, I was about 13, 14 years old, I'd write to him. There was no WhatsApp back then, there was no internet to that extent. So I used to write a letter, he used to reply on aerogram, these letters that you can just fold into a letter and they're written there. So he corrected me. He would write the Islamic dates on. He said, always write the Islamic dates. Always give priority to Islam. It's part of your love for Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So inshallah we can check that when that is, just so that we are aware of it from a study perspective. It's a good question from a study perspective, inshallah. If there's any other questions from the brothers or anybody, and if the sisters want to write anything, they can write anything. So, who, brother iPhone Van Mehmet? Can you hear me? G,
Yes, I can
brother.
hear you, Sheikh.
Okay, Masha. So, this is So your full name is? It's not iPhone. I know that.
No, it's not iPhone. My name is Mehmet.
Mehmet, mashallah. And whereabouts in
It's actually,
Turkey are you?
yeah, I live in the Netherlands. I'm
Okay,
a
mashallah.
Dutch person from Turkish descent. So I was born here in the Netherlands, but I'm from a
Alhamdulillah.
Turkish descent.
Inshallah, did it make sense to you, the first paragraph which we've tried to understand?
Yes, Sheikh,
Okay, I
I
think
think
somebody else's
someone turned on
microphone.
the microphone. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was aware of Sheikh Al-Mujaddid Al-Thani because I was in the Khalidiyya Tariqa for 14 years.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah.
Yes, but I exited the Tariqa a couple weeks, like 2 or 3 weeks. I left the Tariqa because there were some things that did not make sense, such as istighatha and the Sufi meditation practices,
No problem.
particularly the Rabita meditation, that is a form of method in the Khalidiyya Tariqa, a branch of the Naqshbandiyya. It did not make sense. So I was wondering if there were like, if these practices like istighatha and the Rabita was also the teaching methodology of the Mujaddidiyya Tariqa. And therefore my question.
Let me just mute that microphone of the brother by accident. These we'll cover, inshallah. Mujaddid Hasan,
Okay.
rahmatullah alayh, speaks about in the Makati. These all of these things are addressed in the Maktubat. If we speak about these issues now, it will take up too much time. They're important questions, inshallah, they will be dealt with, and then we will have a course material that will be given, which will be a summary of the main topics covered, inshallah ta'ala, which will also help. Okay.
Okay, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan.
There's no harm. Those who have attended today, the first lesson, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it blessed for everyone, for myself and for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings. We're very incapable. We are not really worthy of these lofty ulum and ma'arif that the shuyukh have recorded for us, but we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our hope is that if we are sincere, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very generous, very generous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all of us individually. He created us and He knows that we're all trying to draw closer to Him. Allah will not leave anybody without gracing them and granting them, inshallah ta'ala, that which is good, all the good that they desire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures are full at all times, and we should have that tawakkul and that trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that famous hadith, ana 'inda dhanni 'abdi bi, I am with my servant as he or she thinks of me. We should always have a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will answer our du'as. We will become better and stronger in our deen, and with more attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive any shortcomings that have taken place today. Inshallah, it's 10 past almost. We'll take one more minute. Yes, Abdul Halim, you may unmute and speak, inshallah ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaykum
So
salam.
there is a question. I think it's from a sister in the chat. I read it if
Yes.
it's okay, inshallah. So she asks, is tasfiyah just more afdal than suluk tazkiyah? Is her question.
Can you ask that question again, please?
Is tasfiyah just more afdal than suluk and tazkiyah?
Is jazba more afdal than suluk?
Sahih, yes, this is the question.
And what's the tasfiyah part?
It's just, I think it's put as a synonym. So it's tasfiyah and then a a line and then
Okay.
jazb. So
No problem.
synonyms.
I've understood the question. Jazakallah khair. It's a
Thank
very,
you.
very good question. We want these kind of questions because these are the kind of questions that clarify things and make it easier for everybody else to understand. So may Allah reward the sister for asking such a good question, mashallah. The jazba and suluk, So jazba is the achievement of a level or degree of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a person immediately wants to start becoming more practicing and closer to Allah, right? But this is short-lived. This is the process of that is called tasfiyah, purification of the heart. Tasfiyah is purification of the heart, which creates jazba. Tasfiyah is the process of purification of the qalb, which creates the jazba, the love for Allah, because the ruh was made in heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all the arwah, the ruh, you, me, all of us, Mujaddid al-Lisan, rahmatullah alayh, everybody was there. Yawma alast. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked everybody, alastu bi rabbikum? Am I not your Lord? All of us replied, Qalu bala, indeed you are. When the ruh was placed into the body, then it came into contact with the nafs. And this is what Allah speaks about. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ And we breathed into the body of our spirit. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي And then Allah told us to prostrate. So the ruh, through dhikr and muraqabah, through communication with the Shaykh, a person reminds the ruh of its true origin. That's what actually is happening. Then when the qalb and the lataif become jari, when they become activated, this is what's actually happening. Right? And that they're connecting with their origin, with their celestial origin. Because the body is made from the dust of the earth, and the nafs also from the desires of the earth. So to answer the question briefly, tasfiyah is the process of purification of the heart, the qalb, which creates the jazba. And tazkiyah is the process of purification and cleansing of the nafs. And that path is known as suluk. Is one more important than the other? No. Both are equally important. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only accept which qalb? Qalb is salim. The word qalb is salim is used in the Quran. The good heart. And the sick heart is qalb is saqim, the qaf, the sick heart. It has jealousy, it has envy, it has desire to be loved by everybody, to have Instagram followers, and to have likes and photographs. Inna lillahi miraju. This is a saqim qalb. Never satisfied, never content, never happy. Always looking for that satisfaction that the awliya Allah find in their dhikr and their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And both are equally important, but without the initial jazba, what's unique about the Naqshbandi Mujaddidi tariqah is that through the muraqaba of the lata'if, or through the dhikr methodology in the tariqah, that a person is granted enough shawq and jazba that they are willing to undergo the training, the mujahida, which is required for the nafs. Once the nafs is pure, it will become al-nafs al-mutma'inna. Al-nafs mutma'inna is the content soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, addressing the content soul, it was al-nafs al-ammara bis-su. Then it becomes al-nafs al-lawwama, nafs mutma'inna. Addressing the nafs mutma'inna, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyatuha nafs al-mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyya, fadkhuli fi ibadi wa dkhuli jannati. That, O content soul, Allahu Akbar. We don't have time to go into it, but Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutma'inna, O content soul, irji'i, return to your Lord, content, pleased, Allah pleased with you, and you pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fadkhuli fi ibadi, enter into my servant, my servitude. وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي We have to become servants of Allah before we can go to Jannah. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي First, وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي So we have to become true servants of Rahman, true servants of Allah. That will only come if we achieve al-nafs al-mutma'inna, which is the whole effort of suluk and tazkiyah. But that requires regular updating the sheikh. Honestly, I am not doing this. What should I do? I'm listening to music. What should I do? I'm unable to pray my salah isha. I always fall asleep. What should I do? And these things will be advised practically how to do, whilst maintaining the polished heart through the dhikr and the muraqabah. Inshallah ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what has been said, and I hope that answers the question. Yes, we're very short on time, and 30 seconds inshallah ta'ala, so that we finish on time as well. We have to be punctual. Brother Nabil, you're going to have to inshallah ta'ala check your sound system for next week, because there's too much reverb, unfortunately. And it's very difficult to hear what you're saying. And for everybody else's speaker as well, it will cause them interference and inconvenience them. And the essence of tasawwuf is to not cause inconvenience, inshallah ta'ala. So I hope you can be patient with your question. You may ask it on the WhatsApp group also. Abdul Halim? Yes.
It's already okay. I just wanted to say he wrote the question to the chat so we could read it here also, but he said you should send it to you on WhatsApp. So,
No, it's fine. Read the question, Abdul Halim.
inshallah. So he says, Ba'da salamu alaikum. Just something different. I wanted to introduce my children to this and wanted a starting point so they can understand what our silsila is. And what it's about, they are 16 years old, I think. They are 16, so I need a basic tool to give to them so that they can understand the basics and
MashaAllah.
can get involved. Because the maktubs
MashaAllah.
are very complex, I needed some books so they can understand the basics.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Inshallah ta'ala, I'll put something on the WhatsApp group regarding that. It's a very important question for those that are parents, fathers, mothers. It's a very important question, inshallah ta'ala. And we should attach our children from a young age. I was very fortunate. My respected father, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he was the one who took us to and we were able to visit him in person, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq and may Allah accept our humble efforts. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.